For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Kate McKinney reporting from Spoleto Festival USA in Charleston. I'm here with Lester Lynch and Allison Cambridge, who are respectively Porgy and Bess. Welcome, Lester and Allison.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm just curious, now you've both been involved in productions of Porgy and Bess before, but Allison, I understand this is your first time as Bess.
Yes.
And Lester, you spent a lot of time with Crown before. So I'm curious to know how these particular roles have changed your understanding of the opera or changed your perspective of the opera in these roles.
I don't know that me playing Bess for the first time has necessarily changed my perspective on the opera as a whole. I will say that from years of playing Clara, who is sort of the array of sunshine and innocence and purity within Catfish Row, is in stark contrast to Bess, who is somebody who's seen light and a lot of dark. I love playing her because there is a huge character arc and I get to explore so many different sides of the human experience, also the female experience. And that is shown in her different relationships with the different men, Porgy, Crown, and Sport and Life. Of course, it also deals with issues of addiction, abuse to a certain extent. And there is a hardness and a vulnerability to her. So just as an actress playing this role for the first time, I have found it incredibly rewarding. You know, with Clara, you sing Summertime. You sing Summertime three times in the show. You have this relationship with Jake, your husband. But Bess is something that, for me, I believe will continue to develop with each performance and with each production, any other production I do after this. And so I'm looking forward to continuing to play this role.
And Lester, no pressure on you, but if you...
Well, you know, here's the thing. My approach to learning an opera is to kind of spend time with all the roles. And since I started as Porgy way back in Aspen, many, many moons ago, Aspen Music Festival, it was Marcello and Porgy that summer, I think 1994 or something like this. Then I moved into Crown. And I had sung Jake prior to that time. So I think that I always had kind of an overview of the opera. So it's really tough. And also we take this approach to learning operas that we learn all the roles and kind of how they function. I spent time with the book and all that. So it's really tough to say how playing Porgy has changed my perspective on the opera as opposed to playing Crown. What I would say is that the experience of playing Porgy is so incredibly different from playing Crown. And that I can speak on. Because I feel like I've kind of always had an overview, a good overview of and good ideas about the opera, just from the music as well. I'm sure Allison feels exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, you learn the leitmotifs and kind of the structure of the music that Gershwin has put forth. But as far as going from Crown to Porgy, Crown comes in for basically three scenes and changes the course of the opera. And he doesn't live in Catfish Row. He's not part of a community. He's an outsider, as is Bess until she's taken in. Mm-hmm. He has a good job. He has access. He has more money. He probably deals with a good cross-section of people throughout his day, meaning that he would have been someone that was normally dealing with white and black people. And I feel like sometimes within Catfish Row, they're a community that's really gated off. I'm saying that specifically because of this gate that we have in our production here, that they're behind this gate and there's this separation. Crown doesn't have that kind of situation going on. He is someone who's an outsider. And playing Porgy, he's such a part of this community. And so in that way, it's nice to have these relationships with Jake and with Serena and with Mariah and Clara, and he knows the children and all this. So the experience for me, especially with this production, is that Porgy's part of this beautiful community of people. unlike Crown, who's a complete outsider and, you know, and that kind of thing. Yeah, that's what I would comment on.
I think in terms of this idea of being insider, outsider, part of the community or not, I would beg to differ a little bit on Crown and Bess. They are a part of the community in a larger sense. They've been ostracized because they don't sort of adhere to the normal standards, quote unquote normal standards, that everybody else in the community necessarily does. They kind of pop in and out. You know, when the scene comes and the lawyer asks, okay, Bess, what's your name? The community answers for her. Bess, do you want a divorce? The community answers for her. How old are you? Oh, 20. That girl's 30 if she's a day. She's been around. People know this history of Bess and Crown, even if they are sort of ostracized by the community. And I think, you know, for Bess, certainly, it's about assimilating wholeheartedly into that community and really giving up, or attempting, anyways, for part of the opera, attempting to give up those things that kept her on the outskirts, the drugs, the being with Crown, being sort of a loose woman, an ungodly woman. And so she makes in her love affair with Porgy a real, at least my take on Bess, a real genuine attempt to better herself and to make a better way in life for herself, only to, along the way, succumb back to her addictions and other loves. So,
and I'm curious to know, Allison, you touched on this very briefly, but regarding role preparation, there are a lot of really hard things in this opera, drugs, abuse, etc. What type of research and what type of preparation is involved in preparing for these massive roles?
You know, I'm sort of twofold in my preparation for roles as dramatic as this. First, I start with the music, and it's pretty straightforward, black and white. You learn the notes, the words, you learn how to sing it technically. So you are technically, vocally proficient no matter what. At that point, then when I get to the staging process, to a certain degree, I can go on autopilot vocally, if that makes sense, because I already know, the body knows what it needs to do on this note, that note. Then I can add in the drama. And I feel that if you try to do one before the other too soon, you can get yourself into vocal trouble, frankly, because it is such a dramatic role. And Bess, she sings soaring high notes. She also screams. I mean, she yells. All of that takes preparation and care and training. And so for me, I think this being my first Bess, I was a little, not cautious, but I was figuring out my way in the first few weeks of rehearsal, just going slowly. And then it got to the point where I just needed to run the show beginning to end so that I could play and experiment with how emotionally charged, how far I could go in certain scenes to make it to the end successfully and believably. So that's been my process. I don't do research in terms of being a drug addict or anything like that.
The Marlon Brando approach.
You know, I've watched enough, you know, Datelines and Interventions, and that's enough for me. And so that's about the extent of my research in that department.
I'm glad that part's a little curbed. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. And Lester, coming from someone who has performed this role before, but as you said, your first time was over two decades ago. So each time, is there a new layer of preparation for you approaching this role?
Not really. I would say that I'm constantly working to hone my technique and keep my body in shape for these bigger roles. This one was a bit of a challenge because we approached Porgy's handicap a little differently. So normally, you know, you're on a cart or you're with a crutch or you're with two little canes or you're dragging yourself around the floor. And in this production, we're doing all of that. It within, you know, the 4 weeks that we had to prepare for this, you know, you're spending time trying to get accustomed to all of those type of handicaps, which involves learning how to use other muscles to sing with and not stress certain muscles in rehearsals and this kind of thing. So, I mean, you know, I try to keep my body in shape, but my God, this was a really big challenge this time, singing in the chair and singing, you know, from the cart and being down on the floor a lot and with the cane, an incredible challenge. And that really is the challenge of Porgy. Porgy's not a difficult role to sing. It's just, it becomes difficult when you have to portray all of the handicaps.
I think it's really interesting how different singers prepare for different roles and what preparation means to them, and how physical challenges that are posed within staging can be seen as a hindrance or help. I think one of the technically, if you're going to call it difficult, most difficult scenes for Bess, it's just a big and long sing, is the scene with Crown on Kittiwa Island and preparing in the studio. Okay, you know, lift here and do that and whatever. But then we get into staging and I'm literally being thrown on the floor. I'm literally being thrown to my knees, singing on my back, you know, have like a 250-pound muscular man like on top of me while I'm singing high notes. But for some reason, and I guess this is, I can only speak to myself, sometimes the drama, the theater of it, the acting and the passion, that fuels you. Because if you do have this sort of basic technical preparation, then the craziest physical circumstances can sometimes elevate your performance because you have that drama behind you. And so that's one of the things that I've been discovering with this role for me personally. Yeah.
And that's interesting. And that's almost in contrast. It's a different situation, but with what you were saying, with the physical handicap. So that's quite interesting. Lester, did you ever find that you were at that point? Like, how much did your muscle memory ever hitch in those odd, when you are in those odd positions, mm-hmm. whether you're on the floor or in the chair? Were you ever kind of propelled forward by that dramatic effect like Allison is saying?
No, actually, I find it, you know, I mean, we all approach things differently, yeah. exactly as Allison said. And I find it, you know, for me personally, incredibly dangerous to let the drama take me in a certain direction and not keep the technique as the foundation of every single thing that I'm doing. But you have this with actors as well, where actors will say, you know, there you have your technique actors and you have your kind of the actors
method
actors. That's right. The technique actors are always kind of, you know, doing it via that technique, and I'm that guy. I'm also older, and I'm closer to my retirement than Allison, and so I have to be more careful.
I'm just getting going.
You know, yeah, she's getting started. You know, and I'm a bit more closer to my retirement, and so for me, I have to approach things technically, because I don't want to injure the instrument. You know, I mean, Simon Estes said it best. He said that Porgy was as difficult or more difficult than Votan. The longest, most difficult, loudest thing in the world. That's the challenge that one is under with this role. And so in that way, it's more difficult. I'm trying to think, when I sing other things, will I allow the drama to be there at the forefront as opposed to the technique? And I think I always try to keep a balance there so that it's the technique first and then the drama.
I think we're kind of saying similar things. I think early on in a career, singers in general, they will tend to let the emotion drive them too much too soon. And that's something that you have to learn along the way. I'm an opera singer, a jazz singer. I consider myself a singing actor. And I went to school for a long time and did all sorts of young artist programs and have wonderful teachers and coaches, that of course you make sure that your technique is solid. Just for me, the way I am as an artist, once I know that I've got that down, I really love to have the drama help take me to that next level. Because after all, it's opera. It is a visual and aural medium. People come to see and hear the drama and those connections. And so for me, I know that if I'm looking into somebody's eyes lovingly and they are looking back at me lovingly, no matter how many times I practice singing whatever that phrase is, Porgy Eyes, Your Woman. Now, if I'm getting an energy back from my co-star and I'm giving it to him, I will sing that phrase better, 100%. And there are so many moments like that in this show where it's, I just need to lock eyes with somebody. They need to give me an energy. I give them something back, and I will sing that phrase or that scene differently, 99% of the time better than if I were just in a practice room. So.
And I'm curious, it's so obviously, it's so special that Porgy and Bess is, it's a production in Charleston. I mean, it's made for Charleston. What does it mean to you that you can walk out of your rehearsal and you're ultimately living in the set almost, and you see Jonathan Green pieces everywhere in Charleston too. So can you just talk to me about that and how maybe it's colored your perspective of the production too?
Bliss. Absolute positive bliss. It's been incredible to be in Charleston, where Gershwin wrote the music, where the story is from, where Porgy was begging down the street, walking on Meeting Street, talking about Meeting Street on the stage. It has been absolute, just the most incredible thing to be here. And to do this here in Charleston and to have Jonathan Green's production, I mean, is he not a genius? Just incredible. It's just been the best thing in the world. I can't speak highly enough about this experience. And because I have this long history with the show, to finally do it here has been such a pleasure.
Yeah, for me, it's sort of been one goosebump moment after another, really, since knowing I was even cast in this show years ago. And of course, Porgy was originally supposed to be last summer. And instead, I came down and I did A Night with the Symphony. And at the reception afterwards, I was introduced to Jonathan Green. They said, Allison, you must meet Jonathan Green. He's going to be designing everything for Porgy and Bess. And so we met that night last summer in May. A love affair started. Amazing. Great. Then it was time for me to start looking for my housing. Where was I going to stay? So I start looking on Airbnb and whatnot. And I see this lovely apartment. And in every picture, there is a Spoleto poster in all the pictures of the apartment. And I thought, oh, okay. So I reached out to the person, and her name is Greg Smythe. She is a native Charlestonian and obsessed with the festival and Porgy and Bess. So then I arrive. I move into the apartment. She says, Allison, may I take you out to dinner one night? So we have a night off. She takes me out to dinner and takes me to see Porgy's grave. Yes. Kidding me? I mean, just goosebumps. And I'm like, how is this? It's all like meant to be, right?
Oh my God.
Then we meet the mayor, Ms. John Tecklenburg, and we're about to announce the simulcast. And he starts talking about how he's a pianist and his piano teacher taught him the Porgy score and he loves Porgy and Bess. Oh, and by the way, his piano teacher was my very first coach at the Metropolitan Opera. Are you kidding me? Then he has a reception where the original cast from the 1970 production was invited. So here we are, the 2016 cast, getting to meet with the 1970 cast and hear about their passion and commitment to putting on Porgy and Bess back then, their history with the show, their history with Charleston. And then, of course, given everything that's transpired last summer, and you step outside of the Gilliard, and there's Mother Emanuel right there. And to see the way Charlestonians, everybody really has embraced this show and embraced Porgy coming back to Charleston has been so special and profound. And it really is something that I will cherish forever. It's a landmark production, and I'm just really honored to be a part of it.
Well, we are so thankful to have both of you here. Thank you so much, both of you, for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Our pleasure.